Chief of the Ways of God is the title of tonight's devotion, taken from Job chapter 40 and verses 6 to 24. We have two thoughts: His holiness and power unchallenged, verse 6 to 14, and His creature He subdues, verse 15 to 24. It was on the sixth day that God created the land creatures, recorded in Genesis 1 verse 24. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures after his kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the field after his kind." And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. It was on the sixth day, before God created man, that he created the animals that roam the vast plains of the land. And here we see God citing in his speech to Job a picture of the created world. William MacDonald said, well, he displayed the panorama of nature, including 12 animals. But here in his second speech, he will focus via a pair of zoom lens only on 2 animals. Why does God bring us to look at the animal world? Have you ever wondered why the animals are made as they are? You see here the thought that we want to bring before you is the power of God's spoken word. How is it that by his word that was unleashed, the creatures were all created out of nothing on the sixth day? These creatures preceded the creation of men. So we say that we are the kings of the world, and we subdue all the animal kingdom, all the animals in the animal kingdom. And yet God brings to our attention the big and fierce animals that are so forbidding, fearsome in the sight of men. He wanted to bring this before us to help us to see that before men came into being, these creatures roam the earth. And they are what they are in their strength and might, which God will bring to Job's attention. This week we talk about the behemoth. Next week, the Leviathan. And here, the behemoth is what is described as a beast par excellence. In other words, of all the creatures that God made, the behemoth was highlighted as a great creature that God wants to bring before us. So William MacDonald says, God presents the behemoth as the first of his ways. Exhibit A in the animal kingdom. What is this creature like? Well, from the study we see that it is herbivorous, amphibian, and exceedingly powerful, right? It rests in shady, marshy areas and is not easily intimidated. What is the lesson for us? The lesson is that if Job can't even control this brute beast, how can he control the world? The Lord wants us to see and understand our place in the created world. so that man that is made so close to God, so close to God, as in we are the only creatures that is made with an immortal soul, and that we are the only creatures that is made that is in the image of God, bearing the qualities, the attributes of the living God. The animals in the animal world is not like that. It doesn't bear the attributes of the image of God, right? But what we say that we are different from God are the incommunicable attributes. Right? We are not omnipotent. We are not omniscient. We are not omnipresent. But God has given us the communicable attributes of Himself, right? As we have learned, right, concerning the attributes of God. Right? You recall, what is God? God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, unchangeable in His being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. All these, the attributes of God, the communicable attributes of God, we can have. When we are born again in the Spirit, we can have all these attributes. Right? And these attributes that God gives us are attributes that will help us to rule, reign the created world. You remember that when God created everything, God said to Adam that He is to name all the creatures. What do you mean by naming? Right? As parents, you name your baby, right? You have the privilege of choosing the name, right? Because you beget them, as it were. So Adam and Eve had that privilege, right, of naming the animals in the animal world. They are under the dominion of Adam and Eve that God has entrusted to them, right, while they were there in paradise. Before they escaped out of God's purview. Right? In other words, they don't want that dominion that God has given them. So God said to Adam and Eve in the garden, "Where art thou? Where did you disappear to?" Right after they fell, they tried to hide themselves. They sow fig leaves to cover themselves. Where art thou? Well, they were banished out of the paradise. They did not want God to rule over them. Or they did not want to subsist under God, to rule over the entire creation which God had made for them, for their good pleasure, for their enjoyment. You see, so God wants us to understand, and wants Job to understand who he is vis-a-vis the God who has created him. And so, our first thought, His holiness and power unchallenged. Verse 6 to 14 is given here. Verse 6 says, "Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, Gird up thy loins like a man. I will demand of thee." What do you mean to be like a man? Well, when David spoke in his last breath to Solomon, he said to Solomon, who was still very young, that thou wouldst now be a man. The father said to the son, "You are now grown up." It's only the father who has that. The one who nurtured and said the son and said that now you are the man. Well, God said to Job, "Be a man." In the sense that you want to be a man, Then stand up like a man. Are you able to stand? Gird up thy loins now like a man. I will demand of thee, declare thou unto me. So God said to him, really? You want to challenge? What God is saying is that, what have you to contend about? Are you unhappy with the world that you are in? Are you unhappy with your predicament, Job? Are you unhappy because you are afflicted, that trials come into your life? Are you unhappy because there was a time when you had everything and now everything is taken away from you? Do you realize that during the time when you had everything, it was God who gave you everything? And when you have nothing, it is also God who allow the tempter to wreak havoc and take away everything. So God reasoned with Job as a creator to the creature. Who are you contending with? How can you be contending with your maker? And so the Lord said to him in verse 8, will thou disannul my judgment? Can you put, or can you violate, frustrate, defeat my decree, my word? Can you unmake what I have done? In other words, do you have that power to decide things? Can you make what I have made? Will thou also disannul my judgment? In other words, God is saying to Job, are you a holy man that you can judge the thrice holy God? You remember when the prophet Isaiah was before the throne room of God in Isaiah chapter 6. He totally freezed when he was before God because he knew and saw the holiness and the glory of God. What is the holiness and glory of God? Well, Uzziah the king, the man with the greatest power in the land, intruded into the throne room of God and offered sacrifice. And God struck him with leprosy. And this man died in his leprosy. So Isaiah saw the holiness of God, the power of God to inflict, the power of God to chastise, the power of God to punish, the power of God against sin, the power of God. And so here, God is saying to Job, are you a man of holiness that you can judge? Will you condemn me that thou mayest be righteous? Wow. Since when have you been able to live up to that life? You have the audacity to challenge God by the righteousness of your cause. God confronts Job on the basis of his moral character. Have you the power to create and nourish like I do? God asked to Job. And these are very legitimate questions. And you see here, God speaking for the first time, you know, God speaks to a man. God speaks to a man. And God is making demands of him so that he understands who he really is. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. You look at a flower, you take one of the petals, and you hold it, and you touch it, and you look at the color, and you smell it, and you look at the structure, and how beautiful it is, the flower is, how Solomon in all his glory cannot be compared with it. Right? Hast thou an arm like God? We saw last week how God delivered Israel by a mighty hand and a stretched out arm. Right? He parted the Red Sea. He causes the dry land to appear the whole night. Canst thou thunder with a voice like him? Deck thyself now with majesty and excellency, array thyself with glory and beauty. How could Job challenge God in power? Does Job have an omnipotent hand like God? Surely not. Have you the power to punish like I do upon the proud and to abase him? Consider the case of Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 4. You remember the king said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling place shall be with the beast of the field. And they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and 7 years shall pass unto thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The fear of God. Job, do you have the fear of God in your heart? In reality? Well, God said that he was a man who feared God. And here we see that same hour the thing was fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hairs were grown like feathers, eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lift up my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned unto me, and I bless the Most High, and I praise and honor him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven. The army of heaven. God in his glory doeth his will. Who can defy it? Let us be doing the will of God, and only the will of God. And among the inhabitants of the earth, none can stay his hand and say unto him, what doest thou? It was at that time that his senses returned to him. At the same time, my reason returned unto me, for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and brightness return unto me, and my counselor. Oh, this was the same that will happen to Job. God will restore him once he has understood the purpose of his trial. Why did God give us trial? For his glory. Why did God? So that we would learn to honor him, so that we would learn to praise him. I will establish my kingdom, and the excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol the King of heaven, all whose works are true, and his ways are judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. Nebuchadnezzar was the greatest king on earth at that time. He was the head of gold, the most powerful man on earth, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. We have heard of it, the wonders, the, one of the great wonders of the world. He was the one who built it. You know, was a man with great might. And yet how the Lord abased him. So God challenged Job and said, Do you have such ability? Can cast abroad, verse 11, the rage of thy wrath? Behold, everyone that is proud and abase him. Look on everyone that is proud and bring him low and tread down the wicked in their places. Hide them in the dust together and bind their faces in secret. God can, but can you, Job? Then will I also confess unto thee that thine own right hand can save thee. So he sought, the Lord sought for Job and all the readers of the book of Job to humble themselves before God. The reality of the vast, unbridgeable chasm between the power of the Creator over his creatures and the impossibility of the creature to challenge the Creator was brought to the fore before Job so that he will learn to subsist under God forever. This is the lesson for us, that we would learn to trust God in whatever circumstances that will come our way, whatever trials that will come our way, to know that God is there, that He will not allow any trial that would be beyond our ability to handle. In this life that He has for us, He will work out all things good for us. Will you be willing to trust Him? Will you be willing to follow Him? Well, Job, in the depth of his trial, has to learn this lesson. And we too, to trust God. To trust God. Having been justified by faith, we are brought into this grace that God has given us, this life that God has given us, this new life that God has given us. That we would understand that it is all by His good purpose. He allowed trials to come to us. And here the Lord cites the creature, that the greatest of the creatures that He made, that He has that power to subdue. That, well, we look at it and say, wow, so frightening. Behold now behemoth, which I made with thee. He eateth grass as an ox. God described the behemoth as a grass-eating creature, like an ox whose strength is unsurpassed among the moving land creatures. Is this an elephant? For the elephant of the tail of the elephant is not like the strength of the trunk of a cedar tree. So what is this? Well, the Lord helps us to see that this is a great creature. Verse 18, his bones are as strong pieces of brass. His bones are like bars of iron. His body very strong and well built. His strength is in his loins. Here the creature has wonderful strength, great power. And here the Lord says in verse 19, he is the chief of the ways of God. He that made him can make his sword to approach unto him. He is the strongest, the largest, the swiftest of the animals that God, creatures that God had made, yet God has the power over him. And says, notwithstanding his great size and strength, could take his life when he pleased. He is one of the chief works of God among the beasts. Though men dare not come near him, yet God can kill him. Surely the mountains bring forth, verse 20, bring him forth food where all the beasts of the field play. He lieth under the shady trees, in the covert of the reeds and the ferns. The shady trees cover him with their shadow, and the willows of the brook and brass compass about him. Here is a picture of comfort of the creature, resting in its place of in the shade, in the comforts of the reeds and the ferns, under the shady tree. Here the Lord describes how he takes care of his creature. He feeds them. He also provides the place of rest for them. Here, God described how he cares for his creatures. They are so big and great, and yet God deals with everyone, has the power to deal with every one of it. And he says to Job, "Do you have? May men appreciate the wonders of God's creation. Men without the knowledge of God will worship the creature rather than the Creator." And God, through this episode that of trial that Job went through, right? Trials that are sent to us have important spiritual lessons. God gives us trials in order that we may know him better, that we may appreciate him more as we go through these trials. Job will appreciate God very much after his trial. Now he's still in the midst of his trial. It's so difficult, right? The boils are all over him. God confronting him. But God has a good purpose to help Job to appreciate. Right? Perhaps, you know, he will not be able to appreciate the comfort that he has, the rest that he has, as much as he would if he had not been covered with boils before that. Isn't it true? If you haven't suffered, you wouldn't understand what is comfort. You haven't suffered, you wouldn't appreciate the good that would come from it. God works out his mysterious plan for our good. And God wants us to understand so that our knowledge of him will be deepened and we would appreciate him more, right, for his care for us, for his love for us, how he loved us so dearly, how he loved us so dearly to chastise us, to try us, to bless us, to comfort us, and how much we need to bless him and appreciate him and love him and serve him for who he is. And our trials would bring us to a better understanding and appreciation of the God who is superintending over all the things that are happening to us in our lives. For his glory, for his good purpose, for the strengthening of the faith of the saints, Job will be a very different person after God restored him, after he has his wealth and enjoy the comfort of his peace once again, right? The kind of peace that will reside in his heart will be very different from the time before his trial, when he had all the comforts. he would not really understand, but now he would have understood. May God help us. May we be strengthened in our faith as we trust Him to guide and lead us and bless us a long life pathway for a good end, for a good cause, for His own honor and glory. And that's the purpose in which we are created. And He has it for us that we would enjoy Him, enjoy His company, enjoy His fellowship, enjoy His presence as He cares for us. May we understand this, and may our hearts be comforted and strengthened. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. Comfort us by Thy Holy Spirit. Strengthen us by Thy presence, and be with us to grant us Thy peace and joy. This I pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.